I'm British and I'm a busker.
Oh, you've really put me on the spot there. Just give me a moment. What do you think? Oh, one word.
I am British and I am sarcastic.
I'm British and Muslim.
All right, thank you.
Is that enough?
Spell it.
Sorry, I'm British.
I'm British.
I'm British and I'm happy to be.
Official government statistics show that unemployment here in Britain is at a seven-year low, hovering at just over 5%. The worst of the recession is supposed to be behind us and things are supposed to be getting better. But do the figures hide a more depressing reality? Millions of people are still looking for work. And what counts as employment today include these controversial arrangements such as zero-hour contracts. And even those who are working may not be doing the jobs or the hours they want and need. So, in reality, what's it really like to be British and unemployed? Young people are three times more likely to be unemployed in Britain. And even if they do get jobs, they're likely to be low paid or part-time. So what's it like to be a young person looking for work here? Today I'm going to find out when I meet with recent graduate and job seeker Arnie.
I'm 23 years old. I've just recently graduated from University of East London. I did international politics for 3 years and I've done a bunch of interviews, but like when I go into the interviews, I just don't seem to get, you know, a reply back. And you can get an average of like 500 to 1,000 applications per job and you'd never hear anything back. Maybe about 50 to 100 are shortlisted and 25 get past an interview.
What is the job that you're looking for ideally?
I'm looking for something that like helps people, maybe something in charities to do with the homeless sector, to do with youth. I want to do a job that basically isn't about the money. I want to do a job that's about giving me some kind of meaning and purpose in life.
You do now have part-time work.
Yeah.
But is that enough?
I've been unemployed for quite a long time. I've actually been looking for a job since 2014 May, and in the whole of 2014 I found nothing, and I started applying for sort of bar jobs or jobs which is just 0 hour contract jobs. At the moment I'm employed on 1 or 2 days a week and the shifts constantly change, and that is, it's a dead end.
What exactly is a 0 hour contract?
A 0 hour contract is basically where you work on an hour by hour basis. You could be hired or fired at any point. Your shifts constantly change from hours on a day or at work. So if you work in a bar and it's not that busy, you can be sent home early. And so 0 hour contract is essentially something that's given employers more power over workers and given workers less rights. And it's employers like retail, chains, supermarkets, recognize that people are, you know, can be pushed to the limits to work long, strenuous hours for as little as possible.
We're told that the worst of the recession is over, that more people are at work than ever before, the employment rate is going up. So is the worst behind us?
I'm really skeptical about those figures, and I wonder like how they're counted, because if you're working like a day or two a week and you can barely survive, to me it doesn't really count as like fully employed or you're in employment.
How hard is it to make ends meet?
You can literally have, after your rent and bills and travel, literally around £20-30 extra to live on, maybe a week, sometimes even less. It's difficult. It makes you unable to think about the next day. and the next week and the next month and where you'll be, because you're just living in a situation where nothing is stable. You see a big increase in mental health, especially around, you know, men and young men as well, between 16 and 24. The unemployment rate for black men in Lambeth is beyond 60 to 70%, which is incredible. It makes you think, you know, what are people doing to survive?
You're basically making ends meet day to day. Nothing you're saying to me is about long-term plan, about ambition or anything for your future.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to make long-term plans when you're in that situation and when you're having to just think about, you know, what shifts you're going to make, when you're going to pay the bills, how you're going to eat. The last thing on your mind is trying to get a better job, when actually it could be further up on in terms of your priorities.
You've got the added caveat that, of course, you are politically active.
Yeah.
And do you think that has been an obstacle?
I worked in numerous bars, there's certain places where you're told the house rules are no politics, no personal opinions. I know that if you're involved in trade union stuff or organising, you know, with young workers who are trying to fight to get, you know, union recognition or better or London Living Wage, you're instantly looked at as a danger. So every day I go through a few different job websites. I send a few applications each day. Some, if I have a weekend off, I send like 50 to 60 applications off and apply to all these different jobs. I think I've applied to over 500 to 600 jobs in the last 3 months.
Come out and go to shops and that to see if there's jobs available, bars or places?
Yeah, I come out. I've done where I live around locally quite often. I've handed my CVs at bars, pubs, restaurants, anyone looking for waiting staff.
In an area like this, is it hard to find a job?
I think so. I think there's a lot of people around, especially younger people, who are looking for any kind of jobs. Especially anything part-time or local around where they live.
And you were saying you're moving from here quite soon?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm moving out of this area because I can't afford the rent. So it's going to make my chances of trying to look for a job even harder in an area very far out of London. So it's going to make it more difficult. I've been looking at job searches in that area. Yeah, so if I'm walking along and I see a sign like this one, I'll have a look and I might go in. Drivers wanted, need a second job. It implies that you already have a first job, so it really states that, in some sense, that like it doesn't pay that much to live on.
Arnie's story to me seemed like the story of unfilled potential, and I guess that's the story of all young people struggling to find work here in Britain. It's not that they can't or that they're unwilling, but that they're struggling to get even the smallest of jobs. They have to count themselves lucky if they get a zero-hour contract or part-time work on a low pay. And the truth is, even if they do get that, they'll be yearning for more. They'll have higher aspirations, both of their work and their life. So today I'm going to the east of England, to Peterborough, and I'm not driving for once, so I'm really happy about that. I'm going to meet with a mother of two, Rahana, who's been looking for work now for 4 years. And to me, that just seems like such a long period of time to be without work. So I've got a lot of questions for her. I'm looking forward to meeting with her. It's about an hour and a half drive from London to her place. So we are on our way and we should be there soon. Rahana, thank you for sitting down with me today. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your background.
I was born in Peterborough. My first job was working in Oliver Timpson's at the age of 16. So I've always been working.
And you got married at 19, you said.
Yeah.
And you were working.
I had two jobs at that point. I was a dental nurse as well as working in Next.
And then you suddenly had to go to Pakistan.
I suddenly had to go to Pakistan. But when I came back, things were different, changed. It was a massive shock. I mean, now if I look at it, at that point, I thought, I'll get a job, you know, in no time. Started changing my CV around and, you know, it was getting difficult a year after that, thinking, hang on, what's going on here? Why can't I get a job? So obviously I asked for help from Job Centre and they looked into my CV. They said, it's fine, there's nothing wrong with your CV and anything like that. I've applied everywhere, really. To be honest with you, I laugh at myself. I've applied in McDonald's and I didn't get it there. And I was like, oh my God, I can't even get in McDonald's.
I think one of the arguments that a lot of people who are in work in Britain have is to say, oh, single mums or people on benefits, you know, they're lazy, they're not looking for jobs, why should we have to pay for them? You know, what do you say
lazy.
To that?
That's absolutely ridiculous. I want to work. I'm only on benefits because of my kids and I want to feed them, you know. No one chooses to be on benefits. I certainly don't choose to be on benefits. I want to work and I want a job. We're struggling. We're struggling financially, mentally, you know, day-to-day basics. I have to wake up and think about what I need to do and how my day is going to go and how am I going to feed my kids. Right now, I would love to take you with me to go and pay my bill and show you my account. I'm not going to have anything left. So tomorrow I'm going to be,
It's obviously very emotional for you.
You know when you can't provide for them? It gets really hard. So when they come out from school, they're little kids, they don't know. Mum, can we get this? Mum, can we get that? And I have to turn around and say, okay, wait till Monday, wait till Tuesday, till I know, you know, I've got something in the bank. Before paying my bills, I'll, you know, sort him out. But it gets, it's all right for people to turn around and say, you know, oh yeah, she's on benefits. I had people say that to me. And
how does it feel when people say those kind of things to you?
I don't know. Everyone's going to go through this phase, to be honest with you. I mean, tomorrow I could be sky high and that person can be down.
How many jobs do you think you've applied for?
10 a day. I've gone to the highest I've gone is to 25, 30 jobs a day. Now I've got apps on my phone where I could apply for jobs easily. So I worked my way. So I've got like a little, my own little book where I've written all the interview questions and, you know, the answers underneath. Same goes to application forms because I'm doing them day to day basis every day. And they're all the same questions. I'm so used to it now. Hiya, I had a phone interview about a week or two weeks ago. I just wanted to see any update on that.
This one was for part-time on menswear, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but that one has actually been filled.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's been done. All right,
thank you for your time, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. That's a little business that I started at home because I was so depressed that I had nothing to do. This is just the Pakistani branded Asian wear, as they call it, salwar kameez. Yeah, it's selling it's mainly online.
Who do you blame for what's going on?
The government. It's not us. It's not me and you. The people that have cut everything off, cutting the benefits, cutting jobs, healthcare, school, pensioners. We didn't have this issue. We didn't have to go through all this. I mean, I remember back in the days, I used to apply for jobs and I used to have a line of them. And I used to choose which one I want now. because I used to just get all of them.
Hiya. Can you just tell me if there's any vacancies going?
No, we haven't got any vacancies at the minute. We normally put adverts in the window when we're recruiting.
Okay. Is it mainly online or...?
No, it's always in store, basically.
In store. Oh, that's good. And what about if I bring in my CV and these?
We don't take CVs, just application forms.
All right, okay. Have you got any available, just in case?
We only give them out when there's actually a job.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, thank you. Right, thanks. CTEC. It's like a little program they do. Basically, you go in there and you just sit on the computer and you just apply for jobs, as many as you like. You've got to show evidence now that, you know, you're applying for jobs.
I'm not sure what I was expecting to hear from Rahana before I sat down to talk with her, but I definitely don't think I was expecting the emotion to see the distress and psychological impact that being out of work for so long has had on her. And to think about it, I don't think I would. I don't think anyone would be able to stay optimistic and motivated for so long. And the staggering thing is, I guess, that this is just one story of tens of thousands, if not more, that could be told by people in this country. I'm round the corner from the QPR football stadium here in West London, where I'll be spending the day with Jack, who runs a really interesting project, one that mixes football and workshops to help young people find employment.
Hi.
Nice to meet
Hi,
you.
Nice.
Good, yeah. I know you're about to start the session.
Yeah.
Just quickly tell me what you guys are going to be doing today.
So this morning we were running a workshop called Know Who You Are, getting the young people to talk about different personality types and what their strengths are, and therefore potentially what kind of jobs they would like to apply for. We'll also be looking at CVs, different types of CVs, how to construct a CV and the information that you need to put on there. And then they'll be going upstairs later to help some younger people with a research task.
Right. This question goes out to everyone. What do you think employers are looking for when they employ someone? Yes, Darren?
Being on time.
Okay, yes, good. That's a good skill to have. Everyone applying for that job is going to have similar, if not the same, qualifications. Agreed? So what's going to make you stand out? Who do they want to hire?
Hire you.
They want to hire you because of your?
Experience and your knowledge of the work.
And your personality. On this sheet are definitions of each different personality types. We have categorized them into names of animals, okay? I want you guys to have a read of the definitions and I want you to decide which personality type best matches you. In your teams, you've got 5 minutes to design and build an innovative, check the keyword, innovative paper plane. So you're not just going to fold a paper and do the old school primary school paper plane. I want you to come up with a brand new type of paper plane that no one's ever seen before. What I've done is I've made one group of all the same personality type and one group with a good spread. So what I'm hoping is to see how they work together as a team. I'm hoping to bring out the idea that a different types of personalities work better as a team than one type of personality. So I'm hoping that this group here will do better than the other group. But we'll have to just wait and see. Should we go and test who made the best paper airplane? All right, let's go outside.
Yeah, go on,
yeah, don't go past that line.
3, 2, 1, go.
Whoa.
Yes, James.
Yeah.
Yes, James.
That's terrible.
Yes.
That's terrible. That one went furthest.
That one.
Right, if there's one thing we found out, you lot are rubbish at making paper airplanes.
Yeah, well, we tried to do it.
Right, let's go back in. Let's go back in.
How many of you are looking for work at the moment? So all of you. Okay. And how difficult have you found it to find work?
Well, I recently just left a job, which was in June, and I've been looking for work ever since.
Looking for work is hard because where I'm from, not a lot of people really be successful. So a lot of gun and knife crime and stuff like that. So when you're looking for work, and especially when they see your postcode, it's already, oh, not one of these guys. So the stigma of my area has really put pressure on me to get a job.
I used to be a builder, so I used to kind of do work for my dad, and then I just gave up because I kind of just take any job I can get now, because obviously employment's kind of, you know, kind of reached this level where I just kind of want any job I can get to get more financial status, sort of thing. So now I'm just looking for work.
Been out of like work now since like February, I think now, and I think it's come to that point where, because I've jumped like retail jobs and I've wanted to really do something more career based.
So Jack, it was really nice to sit into the class this morning, and I suppose you're constantly having to find innovative ways to teach these young people a serious lesson.
Definitely. So the programme that those young people are on is a mix of kind of your workshops, accredited learning, as well as fun activity days to keep them engaged. So, like you say, innovative, we feel that this programme is something different that offers those that don't really get on with mainstream education, so to speak. So the activity days are, for example, our London Stadium Challenge, where we ask the young people to visit as many stadiums in London as possible. So it's getting them to think about timekeeping and teamwork and planning and organising in a route. So it's they get to develop those soft skills, but it's a bit of fun at the same time, so they don't realise that they're developing them.
Here are young people, they all want to work, which might be a surprise to a lot of people. They want to work, they're looking for work, and they're facing dead ends. Why?
We work with 16 to 24 year olds, and there's so many of that age group are unemployed at the minute. Whether you've been to university and you're struggling to find a job, or whether you've been excluded from school and you've not been in mainstream society since, they're the future of this country, and yet there seems to be limited opportunity for them to engage. So we take those who are furthest from the jobs market and those most removed from mainstream society, and bringing them into a club like this re-engages them and reinvigorates their passion to find work. It enables them to open their eyes and inspires them into some of the opportunities that they don't realise are out there. Again, being able to build up your network builds your confidence, it builds up the opportunities around you, so we're just trying to be that middleman to enable them to do that.
What are the consequences that young people see when they're unemployed and they can't find work?
We often get young people in through the door, their confidence is on the floor, and we find that their resilience has certainly taken a beating, because they apply for so many jobs and get knocked back. I mean, we live in London, there's 1,000 different ways to make money, and you find that these young people, their heads are turned, and they have to make money to survive. They want to make money quickly and easily, and the only way they know how is perhaps to turn to crime.
I think I've kind of concluded that in society in general, it's become the easy short-term solution just to blame young people, but that in the long term, we're really creating a big problem.
Massively. I think we blame young people for not wanting to do enough. What have we done for them? What opportunities have we done for them? What do we teach in schools? Do we teach financial management? Do we teach what a mortgage is and a bank statement and how to do your taxes? Are we making young people ready for life when they leave schools? I think we need to look a lot at ourselves as a mainstream society, and we need to stop blaming young people.
Well, it's not a bad place to end a day's work, is it? I've really enjoyed spending some time here at QPR, and I found it really positive and uplifting to see Jack really engage with young people to help them find work. And it's obviously help that they really need, because they're struggling to find employment. And they share that story with so many other people, with the Arnies and the Rayhanas and the millions of other people who are British and unemployed.